Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
When Eric Musselman spoke at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club a couple of weeks ago, it was after the Razorbacks had beaten East Central Oklahoma in an exhibition game to start the season. And in that exhibition, the Razorbacks had to come back from a double-digit deficit in the second half to win the game. And at the time, he said, "I think we really just like to come back in games." Of course, that was the story of the Razorbacks last season. And it was a story for Arkansas in their season opener, coming back from a 10-point first-half deficit to beat Mercer on Tuesday night. 74-61 was the final score. Arkansas 1-0 this season. They'll play Gardner Webb on Saturday afternoon at Bud Walton Arena. Tip-off for that game is scheduled for 2 o'clock. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. Scotty, what were your takeaways from the season opener the other night against Mercer?
Well, I think JD Notte is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. There's obviously going to be some, you know, frustrating moments watching him, because anytime he – it feels like anytime – you know, he hits a shot or two like he did at the beginning of the game, he's going to throw up a heat check. And he's one of the rare guys that he's going to throw up, you know, maybe three or four heat checks in a game, you know, if he's got his jumper going, or if he's scoring at the rim, that's probably going to give him some more confidence. But he's pretty fun. I mean, I checked KenPom the morning after the game the other night, and he took 48.5% of Arkansas shots when he was on the floor, which is, I think, that's second in the country, only to a kid at Nickel State who took 63.5%. So if you're an Arkansas fan, it could be worse. Like, he could be taking more shots. But I think JD he really sparked Arkansas offensively, and he was one of the few guys who really had a pulse on offense the other night, and, you know, could kind of create things for Arkansas. Devo obviously didn't take a shot. KK Robinson missed a couple of his. Chris Likes gave Arkansas some good energy off the bench. But, you know, you look at DC Toney, he had a pretty good game, but a lot of his offense just came in the flow, and he wasn't really creating a lot of offense in the half court. Kind of secondary offense, like after a shot went up, or, you know, he was pretty good moving without the basketball. But I really like DC Toney. I feel pretty good about my prediction that he may lead Arkansas on offensive rebounds, but it is early, and Mercer didn't have, you know, the most athletic bigs on the floor. But and I thought Arkansas's defense really tightened up in the second half. I think they gave up like 0.68 points per possession in the second half. That was basically half of what that figure was in the first half.
I think the game had several surprises that I just wasn't expecting, and it started out in the very beginning when KK Robinson was in the starting lineup. Granted, he didn't play very much. He played 9 minutes, took two shots, and missed them both. And I think another surprise for me was kind of the outside of JD Notte, the lack of scoring among guys that you would expect to be picking up the offensive slack. Stanley Amude, 6 points, 3 of 7 shooting. As Scotty said, Devo didn't attempt a single shot. And so, I mean, outside of JD Notte and Audis Toney, there really wasn't a lot of offense. Excuse me. There really wasn't a lot of offense. And I think that's something I was surprised by. And I thought for a team that struggled to score for stretches, I'm surprised they didn't see Jackson Robinson come in and try to shoot a three or two.
You know, you made a good point. Like, Stanley Amude is a guy that is used to scoring and scoring a lot. And I think he's going to have to try to figure out what his role is with this offense, because he's not going to be the guy that takes the bulk of Arkansas shots. He might not even be Arkansas's, you know, number two or number three shot taker this year. And that's an adjustment for him, because he's been so ball dominant at South Dakota. But, you know, he got the, I think Eric Musselman tried to get him going, you know, right off the bat, first possession, really aggressive move to the rim. I love the move. You just got to finish it. And I think that's that kind of thing is going to come with time, and he's going to settle in. And, you know, I really do like his mid-range jumper. Like, he took one, I think, right of the lane when Arkansas's offense looked a little bit discombobulated a little bit, but that's a shot that I like. And I think he had another take to the rim. It was actually the one that he got blocked at the rim. You know, his shots didn't really fall the other night, other than, you know, when he got out in transition and he was kind of alone. But I did like the aggressiveness from Stanley. I just hope that, you know, a probably a subpar performance from him in game one doesn't really get him down. I think he might be an option for Eric Musselman to bring off the bench, but you know, I think his track record is too good. I think he'll probably stay in.
JD Notae scored 30 points in the season opener. Scotty, you, in a podcast that we had a couple, 3 weeks ago, you know, we mentioned that we think he's going to be the leading scorer in part because he's going to be the one who takes the most shots. And that was the case the other night. He took 26 field goal attempts, including 14 three-pointers. It was the most three-pointers attempted in a game. Justin Glore at hogstats.com looked this up. The most three-pointers attempted in a season opener for Arkansas since Rodney Clark hit 13 of 17 in the 51-point game that he had against Alcorn State in 2009. A reference that I heard this week, and you know, one game does not make a trend, but it is an interesting thought as you look at the personnel that they have on this team. Is JD Notae in 2021-22 going to be like Mason Jones in 2019-20, where the offense is going to roll through him on, you know, probably one out of two, if not, you know, one out of three possessions?
Yeah, there's a really good chance that happens, I think. You know, I go back and rewatch games and I catalog all of these guys' shots, and six of JD's 14 threes were catch and shoot, which is still, I mean, that's pretty good. And he hit half of those. The number that was, you know, you would like to see go down a little bit is he took eight threes off the dribble. And that's telling me that he's just kind of creating his own offense and, you know, maybe not necessarily getting teammates involved or not being super cognizant of teammates all the time. At the same time, though, he did have six potential assists the other night. And I remember I tweeted that at the time JD had 27 points and he just came over with the seventh steal, and someone tweeted at me and said, how many assists does he have? Well, he only had two, but he set up six shots, and three of those passes that he set up sent teammates to the free throw line. I think they got 5 points out of it. So that's pretty productive too. That's why you just can't look at a box score and you know, come away with, you know, JD didn't pass the ball the other night. Well, he set up four other shots for teammates and they got points out of three of them. So that was pretty encouraging, I think, just go after a rewatch. But, you know, I think JD definitely is going to lead the team in shots. It's probably not going to be close, but I think the key to this team is just figuring out shot distribution, you know, after him. Is it Stanley? I think Debo's definitely got to get more involved offensively. And for Debo to get involved offensively, I think it's going to take one of the other guards, maybe Jalen Williams, maybe Stanley Amude, you know, being more willing distributors. Debo had a lot of success offensively last season because Jalen Tate was such a good offensive initiator. I mean, he looked for teammates before he did anything else offensively. And I think KK right now is about the only guard on the roster that's pass first. And I think that guard group as a whole has just got to be more aware and more willing to share.
Now, Davis didn't help himself the other night. He had five turnovers, including four, seemed like maybe four of the first five or six times that he touched the ball. It seemed like he was losing the ball quite a bit. And so he didn't hurt himself there, or he didn't help himself there. But I did think Eric Musselman made a good point afterward, Andrew, that Devo really helped them defensively by shutting down Mercer's all-conference guard, Alvarez.
Yeah, I think Devo is a guy that's obviously going to – his offensive uptick is going to grow as he gets comfortable in his role. But I think his defense is where he makes his money. And for him to be able to be held scoreless and still play, what is 30 – upwards of 30 minutes a game is something that is comforting when you have a guy that's struggling that much in offense, but he means that much on defense that he has to stay on the floor. I think it's comforting to know that you have a guy that's going to shut down the opponent's star player.
Yeah, I thought Devo was pretty good defensively the other night. And when you got a guy on the other side who, you know, he dictates a majority of the opponent's offense, and the Alvarez kid, like, that was one of the key matchups in the game. And Eric Musselman was right on the money. Like, Devo defended him most of the night and didn't really give him just a ton of space. And one of the things I go back and track on a rewatch is, you know, opponents' field goals attempted and made against each Arkansas defender. And I looked up
there was probably 6 or 7 minutes left in the game. And I looked at my notebook and Mercer had not attempted a shot against Debo yet. And that shot came in the last few minutes. And so that just kind of tells you that they were trying to initiate offense, flow offense through guys who were not being defended by Devo. And that's probably a good route to take. And you should probably, you know, go after whoever Chris Likes is guarding when they're on the floor. And they did. I mean, Likes, Mercer was 5 of 8 when Likes was the nearest defender to a shot. And, you know, Arkansas gave up, I think, 9 uncontested shots and Mercer hit 5 of them. 4 of those makes were from 3, but Devo's defense was really good. And that's kind of like one of those Jalen Tate things from last year where you don't really realize it until, you know, after the game and the opposing team's, you know, maybe best playmaker or shot creator is his assist numbers are low. His field goal percentage is not where it needs to or where he'd like it to be. And that's just kind of the value of Devo, man. Like he can still impact a game without scoring a single point or taking a single shot.
I think we were all really impressed by the play of Adisi Toney. Eric Musselman said that he thought Toney was the player of the game the other night. And I think he said by a long shot or something, you know, along those lines. And the thing that, you know, he said stood out to him was that he scored 18 points, but they didn't have a single play called for him, you know, where the ball went to him offensively. Everything that he did was hustle points, you know, second chance rebounds, running down a loose ball. He really, really impressed me in his debut.
Yeah, he was awesome, wasn't he? Like I tweeted a couple times, I think, during the game that he was just so active and he was so fun. And I'm curious to see how this is going to it, like if this is going to continue when he plays against, you know, more athletic bigs and, you know, bigs who are a little bit have better hands than I would say that Mercer's 3 through 5 guys had. But I mean, you can't really argue with the efficiency. Like even a couple of his misses, he missed a layup after an offensive rebound, which you'll take. And then he missed a wide open corner 3. So he didn't take a bad shot the entire game. And I think a part of his game too, that we're going to see a little bit more moving forward is that mid-range jumper. It's smooth. And that left-handed shot is really pretty. Great form on it, good release, and it's just pretty effortless. And I think that's a shot that Arkansas is going to like. DC scored 4 times on cuts to the rim, and then I think he scored twice after he grabbed an offensive rebound. One time when he just kind of tipped a rebound to himself to get the ball away from a couple Mercer defenders. He was really good. You can't make a better first impression than what DC did the other night.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think his energy he brought to the floor was invaluable. And I'm really curious to see just how well he rebounds the ball going forward, because I think he's a guy that they're going to need to crash the glass with Jalen Williams. And he had 11 rebounds the other night, but I'm looking and he's never averaged more than 6 in a season. So I'll be curious to see if he can rebound the ball better than he has at his other schools or school. But I think the Razorbacks need that going forward out of him.
Let's talk about Mercer for just a second, because I think this could be a pretty good team. And Eric Musselman was on the Razorback Sports Network postgame show the other night, and he said that the reason that they scheduled Mercer was twofold. He said, number one, he thought they were really well coached. And number two, he thought they could be a team that wins the Big South Conference, similar to ORU, Abilene Christian, North Texas, the games they played last year that, you know, you really think helped them get prepared for the SEC play and ultimately the NCAA tournament. Scotty, what were your thoughts watching Mercer the other night? Because I thought their guard play was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. And I'm just looking back over at the box score. And I really liked Neftali Alvarez, you know, even though he had an off scoring night, you could probably say for him, he missed all 6 of his 3-point attempts, but you probably don't want to give him just a ton of space beyond the 3-point line. I think Mercer's, they're going to be a tough team in their conference. And, you know, you might look down in March and say that that's a pretty good win. They've legitimately got 6 3-point threats. Like they had 6 guys attempt at least 4 threes the other night against Arkansas. So they spaced the floor really well. And then Alvarez can beat you off the dribble and, you know, open up shots for other teammates too. And they can be a little bit stingy defensively too. Not a great shot blocking team by any stretch. So Arkansas still hasn't been tested really that way. But I mean, that's a pretty tough team. I think Greg Gary, he's in his third year. You know, he's kind of getting his program where he wants it, and he's got a pretty good group of guys. Like I said, they're got a chance to be pretty good offensively, and they'll be tough to beat if they're knocking threes down like they did against Arkansas.
Mercer really shined a light on a weakness that the Razorbacks may have not known they had coming into the season, which is their perimeter defense. And I think that when you have a team that's launching 33s a game and they're making them at a pretty high rate of 42%, it just shows you that the Razorbacks need to figure out their team defense. And I'm not sure if it's something that's lateral quickness that they're struggling with or if it's understanding where they need to be. But I think that's something that Musselman mentioned they're going to have to get better at as the season goes along.
Yeah, I think that's just like I remember a couple of the threes that Mercer made, it was Chris Likes not reacting to, or he just wasn't getting through like a little slip screen, and Mercer knocked down a three. Eric Musselman was livid. He like stepped a couple feet on the floor and screamed at Chris. And then Jalen Williams gave up a couple where he just didn't react to a shooter in time. And I get that Jalen was a little bit hesitant and maybe didn't feel like he had to step out with a great deal of urgency, because the guy he was defending had made like 5 threes in his career the first 2 years he was at Mercer, but just got to be a little bit more reactive and just get out to the 3-point line and defend anyway. His Arkansas's defense and perimeter defense in Eric Musselman's first year was outstanding. And I just think that they've got to get a little bit more connected. And Stanley Amude and Jalen Williams, I think, are going to find themselves on the floor quite a bit with each other. They're going to have to figure out, you know, who needs to step out on who, how do we switch screens, that kind of thing, who needs to pop out and defend perimeter shooters. That thing, that kind of thing is going to iron itself out, but it's going to take some time, I think.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit them at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers, or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
As we mentioned earlier, Arkansas up next will be Gardner Webb on Saturday afternoon. It's a 2:00 tip-off at Bud Walton Arena. The game is going to be on SEC Network Plus, the same as the game the other night. I believe their first actual televised game is the following game against Northern Iowa next Wednesday. Gardner Webb was 11-15 a year ago. They were 10-10 in their conference. They went to UNLV on Wednesday night and lost a close game. 64-58 was the final score of that game, and they had it actually at 60-58 with about 48 seconds left. UNLV scored a layup and a couple of free throws at the end of the game to pull away just a little bit. Scotty, you looked at Gardner Webb in the preseason when the game was announced. I know they've got 3 shooting guards who are pretty good scorers, and then they've got a couple of pretty good shot blockers in the post as well.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. I don't know that I was expecting Gardner Webb to go to UNLV and give them such a good game. I mean, I'm looking at the box score right now on KenPom. UNLV was 2 of 25 from 3 last night. And so Gardner Webb's perimeter defense probably mixed in with a little bit of first game rustiness, maybe some jitters from UNLV factored into that. But that's going to be interesting to watch too. Arkansas has been, I feel like, since the back half of last season, a little bit more 2-point centric rather than, you know, we're going to be a team that, you know, puts up 25 to 33s a game. And so that's going to be interesting to track Arkansas's perimeter shooting a little bit and just see if JD Notte, maybe a couple other guys get involved there. But they've got, I mean, I'm looking at the box score right now. Demarion Williams had 10 rebounds. Zion Williams had 11 rebounds. And so those are, and Demarion Williams had 21 points too. So that's a pretty big double-double on the road against a, you know, a, I don't know, what do you call it? I guess a Mountain West school. That's nothing to shrug your shoulders at. Gardner Webb's going to be pretty good, I think. I just don't know that, you know, maybe outside of Lance Terry and Demarion Williams, I think their offense is going to be, they're going to be trying to figure that out. And you know, Arkansas, if I know Eric Musselman very well at all, he's going to probably focus in on those two guys and try to keep Gardner Webb's bigs off the glass as best they can. And you've also got to finally account for a couple of shot blockers. So it's going to be interesting to see how Arkansas, you know, maybe attacks the rim or gets into the paint.
I need to correct something I said earlier. Gardner Webb is in the Big South Conference. Mercer is in the Southern Conference. Andrew?
Gotti, you mentioned their two leading rebounders from last night, Damarion Williams and Zion Williams. Damarion Williams is only 6'5", and Zion Williams is 6'4". So the Arkansas guards are going to have to box out, and I think that they're going to have to clear. Arkansas has good rebounding guards, but they're going to have to do their job and keep the two guards from Gardner Webb off the glass.
We did not see Connor Vanover play in the first game. And Scotty, we saw this happen some last year. There were just games where he didn't fit into maybe the game plan. He didn't fit into the game very well based on the personnel. It seems to me maybe against Gardner Webb, he gets to play a little bit more. I wonder what you think about this. Maybe you put a big guy out there, you draw some of those shot blockers away from the rim, out closer to the perimeter. How do you think he fits in as far as playing time goes over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting to track. Because, I mean, Dudley asked after the game the other night if everybody was healthy. I think kind of trying to figure out if Connor was 100%. I think he tweaked his knee right in one of the exhibition games and maybe was a little bit limited because of that. But I'm looking at, you know, the height and weight of some of these Gardner Webb guys, and the tallest guy that they played against UNLV was 6'9", but he's only 205. And so I don't know that that's – I mean, I haven't seen the kid play, obviously, but I don't know that that's really a matchup suited for Connor Vanover. You know, at that size, you would expect a college basketball player to maybe be able to dribble off the, you know, take his man off the bounce a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see if Connor does get, you know, maybe 12 to 14, 15 minutes in a game. I just, like you mentioned, there are games where he's just kind of, he gets matched out of games, and then he's going to have crazy good value in other games where, you know, maybe a team floors a couple bigs that are a little bit slower footed, and, you know, maybe he can match up with them a little bit. This could be one of those games where if Gardner Webb's got a couple of pretty good guards where, you know, they kind of blitz the ball handler and force the ball handler to give it up. And, you know, the guy who receives that pass, you know, maybe at the top of the key or the free throw line, make him make plays, and you have just Connor Vanover kind of standing back there as your goalie. You know, we saw that several times last year. I don't know if that's going to be the case in this game, but that's definitely a possibility. And I think, you know, anytime you've got a couple good shot blockers, you would think that they'd like to play around the rim on the other end. So there might be some opportunity for Connor.
One other thing that we've noticed about Musselman, in addition to, you know, not playing Vanover, is that it doesn't matter who the player is. If they are not playing very well, he's got a very short leash with them. And we saw that the other night with KK Robinson and Trey Wade. Robinson got the start, played, I think, 9 minutes, but most, or he didn't, I think he played early, and then he only got about 19 seconds in the second half, and that was right at the end of the game. And then Wade played 7 minutes early, and he didn't come back in because he was on the floor whenever Mercer began that big run that kind of put them up late in the first half. Of all the players who played the other night, he was only one of only three that had a minus efficiency. He was minus 12, or Arkansas was minus 12 with him on the floor. They were minus 5 with Robinson on the floor. They were minus 3 with Kamani Johnson on the floor. A couple of things, Scotty. You've got Wade and Robinson both coming back from injury. I think that probably is going to lead to some inconsistency from those two until maybe they feel completely over, you know, the various injuries that they had. You also had Jalen Williams coming back from injury the other night. He didn't put up a whole lot of points, but he had a lot of value on the interior.
Yeah, man, Jalen was really good too. And Eric Musselman just said he was just flat awesome the other night because, you know, I think he missed a couple threes, which you want to see him start to pull those. I was totally fine with both of them. That's an area of his game that he focused on in the offseason. And if he gets that perimeter jumper down, he's going to be a handful for any big to defend, whether it's non-conference or in the SEC. And, you know, he early in the game, I think he dove on the floor for a loose ball, got a cut on his face, and then later he landed on his back, which has been giving him problems. He's had spasms, why he didn't play against North Texas. but he still came in. I think he finished with 8 rebounds, 5 assists. He led Arkansas in assists, and he led them in potential assists with 7. And it was really interesting. I asked Derek Musselman, like, what he thought was the most valuable thing that Jalen brought to the floor. And he said that Jalen's value right now is, I guess, he's a point forward. And so the coaching staff right now, pretty interestingly, is toying around with trying to possibly implement bits and pieces of the Denver Nuggets offense with Nikola Jokic, who won he was an NBA MVP last year, 6'11". He's a wizard with the basketball, man. Like, he can shoot it from 3, really good rebounder, and he's a terrific passer. I mean, I looked up on Sports Reference yesterday, 64 games last season, he had between 5 and 14 assists in a game. Jalen's not that yet by any stretch. And the other night was just the second time he'd led Arkansas in assists, but it's impressive enough to, you know, it's pretty impressive that a guy his age and hasn't played a whole lot of games, a coaching staff is thinking about potentially running more offense through him because his vision, his court awareness, and his savvy is so impressive. So that's going to be something, I think, to keep an eye on moving forward.
Before we go, let's talk about the game this weekend, Gardner-Webb. We think Arkansas will win this game, but just in terms of what you're looking for from the team, I'll start first. I'm looking for JD Notae, and, you know, does his field goal attempts go down? Does he continue to take so many of Arkansas' shots? He took 26 of 55 overall the other night, including 14 of their 21 threes. I'll be interested to see what the shot selection looks like in game 2, because I think that's something that's kind of bugged Derek Musselman over the last couple of weeks.
For me, I think I'm going to be interested in looking at how Devo Davis comes back from getting shut out. And I think he looked a little hesitant on the offensive end the last time out. And I think Musselman's going to want him to be more aggressive. So I'm looking forward to seeing him pull more shots, get to the basket, and just be more aggressive overall.
So Eric Musselman hinted on Wednesday that there could be a couple of changes in the starting lineup. Like, we know that Jalen Williams is going to be back in there, but he said there's a possibility that there's another one. And so is that potentially Devo coming off the bench and you're putting Chris Likes in to run, you know, kind of alongside JD Notae? Or do you sit Stanley Amude and then bring in Jalen and then play 3 guards with them? That's going to be interesting to see. I just want to see Stanley Amude play a little bit better. We really know that he's capable. He just hasn't shown it really in 2 of the 3 games that Arkansas has played. You know, with the first exhibition, I think he scored 2 points and hit like 1 of 6 shots, and then didn't play well the other night. So I'm looking for a bounce back from him. Just want to see him get more involved and see if he can kind of find his place in the offense.
I think with it being a Saturday afternoon, Scotty, it's probably going to be a pretty good crowd. They waited to announce the tip-off time until they found out what time the football team was going to kick off at LSU. So you've got the football game at 6:30. You've got a basketball game at 2:00. Plenty of time for people to come to the basketball game, get back home, be able to watch the football game that night. I was really impressed with the crowd on opening night. There were 19,200 announced for the game. Now, there weren't that many there. They're going to announce ticket sales every game this season. But I think, you know, as I was looking around the arena, it was somewhere around 12 to 13,000 probably were in the seats. And that was on a Tuesday night. Now you've got a Saturday afternoon. I think it could be a really good home court advantage Saturday, not just this Saturday, but throughout the year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, I was looking for my seat, and I just kind of like to look at the upper deck, because that's kind of the indicator that you've got a really good crowd. And I was looking to my left, which is the sideline opposite Arkansas's, or opposite the team benches, and there was a lot of people in there on a Tuesday night, which was pretty impressive. The students are going to show up. Like, you don't have to worry about that. And obviously you got to sell out everywhere else, and, you know, you give people a little bit more time to get to a game and not have to worry about work the next day. It's gonna be a pretty fun crowd. I think Gardner-Webb might not like what they're walking into.
I think it'll be a lot different than what they played in Las Vegas on Wednesday night. The thing about weekend games, you get people who are able to come from outside of Northwest Arkansas. You get those people who are coming out from Fort Smith and Little Rock. And I think it could be a big crowd Saturday afternoon. Again, the tip-off is 2 o'clock at Bud Walton Arena. SEC Network Plus will be where the game is televised. Check WholeHogSports.com before, during, and after the game. We'll have plenty of coverage from that game, as well as the Razorback football game against LSU. We'll be back with a basketball podcast of Mid-America early next week to talk about the Gardner-Webb game and preview the following game against Northern Iowa. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones, and we thank you for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.